Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship on this, the 10th weekend after Pentecost. Bible class and Sunday school materials are continually updated, and those are available at our website, chapelofthecross.org. Please be involved with those studies and share them with your family and friends. You'll be blessed if you do. You will also find the bulletin for this service on our website, chapelofthecross.org. Download that from the resources tab on the homepage. And you can give your offerings to the Lord and His church there at our website, too. You can click on the Give tab, or you can just mail in your offering to the church office. A couple of announcements before we begin worship tonight. First of all, next Sunday, August 16th, Mike Miller from Day 3 Seeds will be outside from 8 in the morning until about 12 noon with a load of fresh herbs and produce. And you can take what you want and pay for what you can. And all proceeds from that sale will benefit Helping Hands Food Pantry. Second of all, today's broadcast of our worship service is being sponsored by Nancy and Marilee Couric in loving memory of Pastor Orv Miller. May God bless our worship tonight as we begin our worship by listening to our opening hymn, Evening and Morning, hymn number 726 in Lutheran Service Book. We stand. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ our Lord, let us with confidence draw near to God, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great mercy, wash away our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Do not remove us from your presence. Do not take your spirit away. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us with your spirit. Amen. God is merciful and gracious, granting forgiveness through Jesus Christ to all who confess their sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love, in his ministry, your Son, Jesus, showed his mastery over all the forces of nature, including those of great power. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on him and to trust his guidance in all things as we pass through this world, confident in his care. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament for this evening is from Job, the 38th chapter. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, "This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt." Have you ever given orders to the morning? Or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it. The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 25 and 26. During the first watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they cried out in fear. The Marines love their acronyms. We have one for everything, both good and bad. For Marines who are outstanding at everything, we use the expression water walker. Water walker Marines are not simply good at physical fitness, they are outstanding both in their vocation and appearance, everything. These Marines put the rah in oorah. Their story is if you toss a water walker's evaluation out upon the waters, it will gently float above the surface, leaving a trail of dust. These Marines are the ones you expect to go far in the Marine Corps. Your generals, commandants, sergeant majors, master gunnery sergeants. And yes, I do know that this is typical Marine bragging, but these Marines serve as examples for other Marines to follow. The Marine Corps aside, I know a guy who actually did walk on the water, but not just in today's text, but from the beginning of time. Our text tells us that Jesus walked on the water. Not only did Matthew tell this tale, but the apostles Mark and John as well. Matthew, however, has a sub-story the other apostles lack. All gospel is about Jesus, and we know this, but since Matthew took the time to bring Peter into the story, we will take a look at how Peter fits into our Savior's story. Peter is not someone a writer would think about when picking a subject for a story. He was a fisherman from Galilee, brash, maybe a little full of himself, and arrogant. Peter just seems like he was just an ordinary blue-collar kind of a guy, not someone you would expect to walk on the water. Peter approached Peter and his brother Andrew and offered them the opportunity to become fishers of men. And Peter and Andrew followed Jesus, learning from him and with the other disciples and watching as he teaches and performs miracles. On this particular day, Jesus has just learned his cousin John had been executed by King Herod. He fed a large crowd and had 12 baskets left over. The crowd wanted to make Jesus king, and I don't think the apostles would have disapproved if they had. Jesus has his disciples immediately leave and start across the sea to the other shore. Our Savior then dismisses the crowd and goes to pray in the mountains. By the time Jesus is finished praying, it is the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 in the morning. The disciples had been struggling with the boat due to winds and rough seas, and they were several miles from the shore. They are fishermen, and they know what they're doing at sea. They may not be water walkers, but they are very good water rowers. This was not the storm from earlier in the gospel. The initial fear comes from the fact of what the disciples see coming toward their boat. Jesus is walking toward them, which should elicit awe and wonder and worship. After all, Jesus had just fed a large crowd with no apparent effort. Yet, instead of joy, there was fear. They were genuinely afraid and think it's a ghost. They know that walking on the water is reserved for God, and yet can't grasp the situation. Jesus knows their fears just as he knows ours today. He immediately replies to the disciples' needs perfectly. Because they are troubled, he invites them to be courageous. Because they do not know that it is Jesus who is responsible, who responds simply but very absolutely with, "It is I." This message is clear and understandable. The image that is approaching them is there in our Lord Jesus. They don't have to be afraid of this because this incredible miracle is for them. By these assuring words, they know that he has given them something special, and it was sufficient, or at least it should have been. Jesus fed a lot of people and then not only walked on water, but he was unaffected by the waves and the wind. What a monumentous day. However, unlike the evangelists Mark and John, Matthew tells of a rude interruption in our story. I introduce Peter for a reason. Peter is not satisfied with what he has seen and witnessed. Imagine being one of the other apostles, and you hear Peter ask Jesus, who is at the very moment showing his powers over the sea, who fed 5,000 men, your and Peter's master and Lord, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come over on the waters to you." We know how this story is going to end. Jesus does call Peter to come to him, and Peter is out of the boat, and he is walking on the water. But Peter, instead of being the bravest disciple, becomes just like the others. He hears the wind, looks at the waves, he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he begins to sink. Peter prays, the shortest prayer in Scripture, and one we should keep in our hearts. "Lord, save me." Can you hear the forehead slaps from the apostles in the boat? What is Peter thinking? "Sit down. Let our Lord approach." Am I being too hard on Peter? Is there more to the story than we see? What was Peter thinking when he got out of the boat? Peter knew it was Jesus and was acting in full faith in Jesus. He knew it was Jesus. Peter saw Jesus' mastery over the sea and was overcome with faith fervor and jumped out of the boat full of spirit and anxious to meet the Lord. Peter demonstrated that he fully trusted in his Lord by leaving the safety of the boat and venturing out onto the water. I can hear Peter now. "Okay, we were afraid during that first storm, but this time I will show the other disciples what faith is about. I know my Lord will carry me to him, and then the other disciples will see my example." Peter was filled with joy on hearing his master's voice, on hearing the soothing command to come to Jesus, began the journey only to fail when he took his eyes off Jesus. As Peter sinks, our Lord saves Jesus, mildly rebuking Peter with, "You of little faith, why did you doubt me?" If Peter was so assured, by the way, that this was Jesus and wanted the same type of proof that we see in Thomas, if Peter had truly believed, he would have said, "Lord, since it is you." But he doubted, not once, but twice. The "it is I" that Jesus spoke is a form of "I am who I am" that we hear from God the Father in the Old Testament and should have been sufficient for Peter. And wanting to walk on water is nothing more than Peter wanting to share the power that Jesus has shown the disciples. In short, Peter wanted to show Jesus to prove to Peter he was Jesus. Peter was just showing Jesus and the others that he was the most obedient disciple. He was obediently obeying his Lord's command and getting out of the boat and walking to his Lord so he could walk with Jesus. And this is a noble desire. We have a number of hymns about walking with Jesus. In fact, this should inspire us the way the poem footprints in the sand inspires us, that we walk with Jesus until we need it, and he carries us until we can walk on our own. But this really isn't true, is it? The truth is, we walk with Jesus involves following him and depending on him for all things. And even our faith that allows us to follow is not from our efforts, but from the Holy Spirit. We always are carried by Jesus. No, what Peter did was impetuous, hasty, and showed that he did not understand what was happening in this moment. Not that this was the first time or the last time that Peter does not understand what is going on and acts in a hasty manner. During Christ's transfiguration, Peter wanted to set up tents so that Moses and Elijah and Jesus could just stay here for all times. When Jesus explains to the disciples that he must die, Jesus rebukes Christ, telling him that this must not happen, literally trying to turn Jesus from the cross. Not to mention cutting off the servant's ear in Gethsemane. And we know that Peter, when placed under pressure in the courtyard, denied his Lord 3 times. But Peter must have had a good reason for getting out of the boat. We need to face a hard truth. Peter doubted the Lord. If you get nothing else from Matthew, it should be this. Peter should have believed Jesus in the first place. But Jesus forgave Peter instantly, as he does for us every day. Peter came to understand and truly believe in his Lord due to Christ's enduring love and teaching. Peter became the disciple he was meant to be, not because he could walk on water. No, Peter became a disciple he was meant to be when he learned that Jesus was sufficient for us all. After his resurrection, Christ came to Peter and the disciples on the shore of Galilee yet again. The disciples were fishing, and Jesus showed him who he was by having them cast their nets on the right side, and they caught more fish than they could carry, and it threatened to sink their very boat. Peter yet again jumped out of the boat, and while he didn't walk on water this time, he did make it to the shore to greet his Lord. And when Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Peter answered correctly all 3 times that he loved his Lord, because Jesus knows that Jesus is sufficient for us all. Peter went on to spread the word of the Savior even under Peter's death. Fear and doubt replaced by faith in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Peter learned that faith in Jesus does not require us to be Jesus. We can wait in the boat until the shore and then get out of the boat and follow our Lord, knowing that Jesus is sufficient for us. Jesus is sufficient so that we can stay in the boat until the shore and follow. Jesus is sufficient and to feed the crowds and to feed us. Jesus is sufficient when he healed the sick and when he heals us. Jesus is sufficient to take the beating we deserve. Jesus is sufficient to endure the crown of thorns, scourging, and the cross. Jesus is risen from the dead so that we can learn from him. Jesus is sufficient for Peter and for us because he is the Son of God and loves us and calls us to trust in him. Matthew's story ends with both Jesus and Peter's feet where our feet need to be, on the shore where Jesus provides. Jesus walked on the water, and we don't have to because Jesus' walk is sufficient for us. Jesus gives us word and sacrament, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus paid the price for our sins, and it is sufficient for us. When we cry out, "Save us, Lord," Jesus hears our cries for help, even when we doubt. This is God's own Son, who does all these things because of his love for us. Not because we can walk on the water like him, but because this is Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, Lord of life, conqueror of death, and there is no other like him. Our Lord is sufficient for us. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, your great mercy has made us your people and still sustains us in faith. Equip us with your mercy that we may welcome others through the proclamation of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You are the source of healing and strength, O Lord, and all who turn to you find mercy. Free us from fear and heal us of our stubborn hearts. Teach us to love what is good and right. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, have mercy on those who lead us in this and every place. Bless our president, our Congress, and state and local leaders, that they may serve judiciously for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we commend to your care all those who are ill or injured or who are infirm. Sustain them in their trials. Use them as your witnesses, even in their adversity. Grant them wise and compassionate doctors, nurses, therapists, and caregivers. And if it be your will, restore their health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Author of life, we pray for those who are mourning. Wipe away every tear from their eyes with the knowledge that for the saints in heaven, there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for they see you face to face. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we give you special thanks along with those who are celebrating milestones of your grace, especially Ken and Marilyn Kreitner as they celebrated their 47th wedding anniversary this past week. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your blessings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, at this time of the year, many of our children are returning to school. Whether school is online or in person, it will undoubtedly be different from what children and parents and teachers are used to from the past. We ask for your blessings for students, teachers, school administrators, support staff, and all of their families. Give your protection and your guidance. Give growth to all who learn, emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing together our closing hymn, When Peace Like a River, on page 11 in your bulletin.